Welcome to A Voice of a People live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How are you doing out there today? Today is another day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it, and make sure you stay warm. I'm live right now on www.wwgh1071.com. I'm live right now on that TuneIn app, and you know you can download that TuneIn app on any electronic device, and in your search bar, please type in WWGH. I'm live right now in the studio by calling 740-383-9944. Except for today, I have a call-in guest, and you can't do that. Now, I'm turning my attention to my guest today, and I have to apologize. I left your card at home, but I'm thinking that is it Marsha Hill?
Upper Hill.
Okay, and I left it at home, and I am so sorry. I don't know. I get sometimes I try to do too much at once, you know, after talking to you last evening. But how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to come on your show and introduce myself and let people know exactly who I am and what I represent.
Yes, I'm so excited about the same thing. It's been kind of crowded, and you have regular guests that come on like around the clock. You know, they have their specific times and they show up. So, and I had to kind of crowd you in. I said, I can't forget her. I can't forget her. So here we are today, and I'm so glad that you could be with us.
And if you would, just let people know that I'm running for governor in Ohio. My name is Heather Hill, and I'm so glad to be with you this morning.
Okay, so Heather, tell us a little bit more about you and why you decided to run to be governor.
Well, I'm just a little girl from Appalachia, Ohio, who thinks I can change the world. And here I am.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm sorry?
There's nothing wrong with that, changing the world, right?
That's right. I grew up down in Morgan County, Ohio. My husband and I have been married for 32 years. In that 32 years, we had one live birth. That's our son, Darian, who is serving in the U.S. military. And we adopted our daughter, Dahlia, who is a senior at Ohio University, and the apple of our eye. She's a little rugby player and just a little spitfire. We've had over 50 foster children that have come through our home. And two of those foster children were Donovan Lewis, who was shot and killed by law enforcement, and Takaya Young, who was shot and killed by law enforcement while she was 7 months pregnant. And those two losses were the beginning of my run for governor.
Okay.
I want to bridge the gap between law enforcement and our first responders, with our people, with our young people that have mental illnesses and are suffering from addiction. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be one of the main focuses while I'm the governor, is bridging those gaps and making sure that law enforcement and first responders have the adequate training that they need to deal with those situations.
Right. I understand that. It's so important, so important. And, you know, when you brought that up, it's just so sad, and I give you my condolences and my empathy.
Well, thank you.
You know, because a child is a child, whether they're your natural born or you just, you know, you are the custodian over these of the other children, and you create love for them, you know, and they're just like one of your own. And to lose any child is really a terrible thing to have to go through. And I'm so sorry that you and your family had to suffer through that. I really am.
Well, thank you so much. And please remember their birth families in your prayers. You know, it's been a horrible situation for all of us. You know, it's a loss that we think of every day. But instead of just thinking about it, instead of just worrying about it, I decided to do something about it. And here I am, running a race where I have no support. My party has turned their back on me. The Black the Black community has turned their back on me. I've reached out to different folks throughout our community and asked them just to give me some support or allow me to speak to them, and I haven't received that support. So I really appreciate you allowing me to be on your podcast today and tell my story and reach voters. So thank you again.
Of course. I mean, that's what media is supposed to be about, right?
Yes,
sharing
it
other is. People's information and what's going on in our city and in our state, you know. And you said your party.
Yes, that is correct. That is what the media is supposed to be about. But unfortunately, I found out over the last year that I've been running for governor that's not how things work. With the media, they really pick and choose, especially with television media. Mm-hmm. They pick and choose what options the American people are going to receive. And that's not okay. That's not okay. A lot of people are, when I'm living in an RV going around the state, I'm running this campaign, my husband and I, and a lot of people tell me that they have never even heard my name, which blows my mind that the media has that much ability to pick and choose who our candidates are, but they do. I was the first to announce. I have a huge story, but for some reason, the television media has left me out of everything that they do, and it's not okay. And we have to continue to keep plugging away. We have to fight every day to make sure that we maintain our rights to pick our government, because if they control the options, we don't have a choice.
Right. You're right about that. And that seems to be getting slimmer and slimmer every day, right?
Yes, it does. It definitely does.
Well, you know, I appreciate you, you know, staying in there and not giving up. And I pray that more doors do open up for you.
Well,
the governor is a really high position. Is being over a state is not. It's not a position that's out of reach. I don't think so. But you know, it seems that they have their own agenda and already have who they want to put in place. You know, and put in power. And I think about the lady in Georgia. I can't think of her name right now. Sometimes I'm not good with names, but...
Are you talking about Sears that's in Virginia?
I'm talking about the lady that was in Georgia that was running during the time that President Trump asked for those additional, votes when Biden was running for presidency. I can't think of her name, and I was just listening to her last night. But anyway... Oh, what is her name? Jesus, help me. But, you know, they've come, and maybe the lady in Virginia you was talking about as well, and how they've come against a lot of us African-American women and, you know, don't want us to be in a place of authority or head over men. And maybe not just us, but women as a whole. You know,
yeah, women. You know, I've really found that it is women overall. They don't want us in office. And, you know, it's very interesting because I have been very involved in my party for the last 20, 25 years, and I have helped out with every major campaign over that amount of time. And it was fine when I was helping other people achieve their goals. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I stood up and said, I demand a place at this table, that's when I was met with scrutiny. That's where I was met. You know, the day that I tried to announce, I was cussed out by the leader of my party, cussed out, and they called the law enforcement to have me removed from the building, all just because I came to the office and asked for a meeting. That it was that simple.
Wow.
You know, and that, I mean, that's the way things are here in Ohio, I'm finding out. If you want a place at the table, no, it's not okay. It's not okay. One thing I look very closely at what they did to Miss Mary Taylor, and I've really followed that But I will not give up. I will not give up because, for one, I'm the most qualified. I will be the best at this position. You know, I was a school board president. The other two opponents that I'm running against, they have no experience at all. I have ran 5 successful businesses. You know, I've worked with in politics. I've worked with on other campaigns for years. I'm experienced in the areas that I need to be experienced in to make Ohio great again, mm-hmm. to move Ohio forward again. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to give up. I encourage everyone to please go to my website. It is fightlikehill.com. And please make a donation, even if it's only a $20 donation. Please make a donation to my campaign. And please, if you have time, volunteer. Volunteering can be as small as sharing posts on social media or as big as knocking on doors. It's at your discretion, but we need help. I am running this campaign solely on volunteers with a very low budget, but we are not going to give up. We are running as independents. And we're going to make sure that everybody hears my name and everyone hears my message. So thank you again for allowing me to be on here today. And if you ever would like to have me back, please don't hesitate to reach out to me.
All right. I will do that most definitely. So does that mean you're on the ballot for this November?
Well, yes, I'm not this November, it's 2026, but yes, we will be on the ballot as an independent candidate. Heather Hill will be on the ballot as an independent candidate, and my running mate, I keep saying we, and I guess I didn't explain. Last week, I finally selected a running mate. His name is Stuart Motes. He's from Dayton, Ohio. He is a reality TV star and an entrepreneur, a wonderful man of God. This is something I took very, very, you know, strong when I was out here looking for a running mate. I took this very seriously. I interviewed over 10 candidates. Some of those candidates I interviewed 2 or 3 times, but Stu was somebody that I align very well with, and I know has the right motives mm-hmm. in his heart and a love for Ohio. He does a prison ministry, very involved in his church and his community, and he's someone that I know that the people of Ohio will receive well.
That's great. That's wonderful. And I'm glad you know you found a running mate to stand beside you and help you bring support, you know, into your candidacy. I wish you all well, and I will get on your website, Fight Like Hill, and we're going to put that out there for other people to even, you know, to think about, check into, and the things that you talked about that you really want to bring to Ohio. Could you refresh our memory on that again?
Well, there's a lot of different things that we need to bring to Ohio. The number one thing that I'm working on right now is abolishing property taxes in Ohio. I am the only candidate that has actively been helping this initiative to go through. And when I talk to voters, one of the things that I tell them that it's so important that we have representation. Mm-hmm. We have a history in the United States of electing billionaires. Mm. We're not billionaires.
Mm-mm.
We are regular, everyday, middle-class Americans working every day to build our dreams. And when we elect billionaires, they do not have our best interest at heart. They don't even know what we deal with. Mm-mm. They don't have a clue what we go through. Every day, working, struggling, and the initiative for property tax to abolish property taxes in Ohio is something I would be working on whether I was running for governor or not, because I have disputed my property taxes. I know what it's like to go in there and dispute your property taxes and have to go in front of the board and be questioned and then have people invade your privacy and walk through your home because they don't believe what you're telling them, that your home is not worth as much as they're saying it is.
Right.
So, you know, I know what those fights are. I know what it's like to worry about how you're going to put food on the table and what we're going to do when it comes to health insurance. And my husband had a wonderful job at AEP, and that was his factory was shut down. All of those men and women lost their jobs. A lot of those people lost their homes. We were very blessed that we didn't lose our homes. But what we did was we started taking every single dime that we had in our savings and from his retirement, and we started buying properties, and that's how we were able to maintain our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a challenge, and people really need to take this seriously when it comes to voting, because if we don't have true representation, we will never be represented in our government.
So true. Like you said, billionaires have no idea what we go through or what we need or the empathy to accommodate.
Exactly.
Us, you know, people.
And one thing I tell people when I'm out there campaigning also is I say, I'm not doing this for Ohio. I am not doing this to Ohio. I am going to do this with Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
When I am in office, I am going to be taking regular, everyday geniuses with me. You know, we have a lot of people throughout our state that know what it's like to struggle every day and build businesses out of nothing and build their lives out of nothing. And those are the resourceful people that we need helping us take Ohio to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who I will be working with. Not the billionaires that are already in office. We will be building this state pretty much from the ground up. And this is something that we're all going to have to work together on. Just down to the simplest things, like having media coverage. We are going to have to get out here and we're going to have to spread this word ourselves. We're going to have to make sure that I'm a candidate that everyone in Ohio knows my name. And the way that we're going to do that is by word of mouth and social media posts, because we cannot rely on the television news stations to get this out there. We cannot even rely on them to do a simple thing like say two little words when they're talking about who is running for governor.
Mm-hmm.
Heather Hill.
Right.
Heather Hill. You know, if they don't want to interview me, they don't want to give me a large story. At least when you're talking about who is running for governor, give people all the options. Don't just leave me out.
Right.
And that's what's happening. And I'm like, how do we do this? We do this through the people of Ohio.
Yes.
We don't give up when they show clearly that they don't want us in the room. We don't give up when they don't want us at the table. We continue to fight. And that's what I'm doing.
Right, right. And I don't blame you for doing that. Fight.
Well, thank you.
Fight. As long as there's fight left in you, do that. Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. So when you talked about your losing your foster daughter, she was 7 months pregnant. I think when I met you that evening, I actually was that the young lady that was at Kroger's that day and
yes, ma'am.
Leaving Kroger's and was shot like right in the front of the face by a police officer.
Right through her windshield, yes, ma'am.
Yes, right through her windshield. I saw that time and time again, and it was just so unbelievable. And I thought, now, why wouldn't they just get her license plate and then, you know, get her later? Why would you just insist? You know, sometimes I think we just make the wrong choices as policemen, you know, as people who have authority, because you have all these other things at your hands, like who does this car belong to, the license tag. You can run that. You know, it's just, you don't have to kill a person.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're going to train
on how to de-escalate. We're going to train on how, you know, everything that law enforcement officers are saying that they don't feel comfortable with, we're going to train. We're going to make sure that they have all the resources that they need, everything they need to keep us safe and to keep themselves safe.
Right.
And we're going to make sure that they know how important it is for the communities that they serve, that they feel safe and they feel heard. So we're gonna bridge all of those gaps. And you know, it isn't going to take a lot. It's basic common sense.
It is.
That's
that.
What the State House is missing. We're missing common sense,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to bring that back.
Well, I really wish you well with that, honey.
Well, thank you.
That sounds like a tall order, but I really wish you well with that. And I'll be praying for you and your running mate. I'm like, whoa.
Well,
I hope it's not too late to ask for that in the day that we live in. I'm telling you. I don't know where it went. It went out the window, down the drain. It's like, oh, what happened? You know?
It might be under the carpet.
It's somewhere. Let's
somewhere.
Hope so.
We're going to find it. It's in the State House. Somewhere, and we're going to find it.
Right. We can dig it up and out. Wow. I just
yes,
tell you.
Yes, we are.
And I was hearing about this gentleman that's supposed to be running in New York, I think it is. He's Islamic, I guess. I don't know, but they're talking about, you know, how things may change in that area, you know. You're like, what? What happened? What happened? Did
yeah.
We missed a lot of things over the years, you know, and you can't become complacent today. It's too dangerous. It's too dangerous.
And we can't trust. We cannot trust that somebody's going to do the right thing for us. We have to get out there and we have to be involved in these decisions because, you know, we get so busy with running our lives and taking care of kids and raising kids and getting them pointed in the right direction and putting food on the table and just the everyday rat race, and we lose focus of, oh my gosh, there's someone making these major decisions for me,
mm-hmm.
not
mm-hmm.
with me, for me. And that's how we've gotten into the trouble that we're in. It's just amazing. And you know what, I've been guilty of it for years, just thinking that everything's going to be okay and thinking that these politicians have the right motives and they have our best interests at heart, and they don't. They don't. So we're going to have to step up and we're going to have to step out because it's not comfortable. Let me tell you, I am being ripped up one side and down the other. You know, I've had death threats. You know, I'm
really?
The first woman of color to ever run for governor in the state of Ohio.
Mm.
If I'm elected, I will be the first female governor elected in Ohio.
Right.
And some people don't like that.
True.
Some people don't like that. You know, to some people that scares them or that threatens their manhood. But you know what? We've got to step out and we've, you know, and people ask me every day, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are attacking you at every angle. Why are you doing this? Because I fear every day that I am going to turn on that television and hear another one of my kids' names were shot and killed last night. I fear every day that our young people, my children, as well as the children of the state of Ohio, that they can't buy homes, that they can't live the lives that they're wanting to live, so they're leaving our state and they're not coming back. You know, I fear all of that. And I just, you know, I made a little ad up the other day, and my volunteer team was like, no, you got to take that word out of there. But people said, you know, why are you doing this? And in my ad, I said, I'm just a regular wife and mother who got so tired of dealing with their shit that I decided to do something about it and run for governor. So I hope I was allowed to say that on your show, but yeah, they had me change it to crap, but it's out there.
Has the same meaning. That's okay. That's all right. I mean, words like that slip. I have a guest, and he's a comedian, and believe me, sometimes a lot of stuff slips out there, you know, but I can't censor his mouth, but he knows what's allowable and what's not, and sometimes things just come out, you know. It's not derogatory, and it's not really targeted at anyone in specific, so... We can look past some of that, so that's not the problem. But Ohio has really changed over the years, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. It really has.
Almost unrecognizable as a state. You know, we've made it through COVID and all of that, and we had Governor DeWine to lead us through that, and I thought he did a pretty decent job, but then a lot of people weren't happy with that either. I mean, what do people really want?
Well, I'm one of those people that wasn't happy with the way things went with COVID. My husband and I own Ohio Hunting Lodge and ER Graphics and a small real estate firm. COVID almost bankrupt our family, and we will never fully recover from what happened at COVID. I believe a lot of the restrictions were unnecessary.
Right.
The way that COVID was handled, I definitely would not have handled it the same way. But it is what it is. We just have to keep plugging along and recover.
And that's so true. And I hear a lot of people say that. Well, they didn't have to do this and they didn't have to do that. But you know, did you feel that way when they were making those choices, or did this decision come later?
No. I definitely felt that way when they were making those choices. The mandates, I felt like they were unconstitutional. This is America. If people choose not to be vaccinated, they should have that choice. Mm-hmm. I am very much into allowing people to make choices as long as it does not affect anyone else. And I believe 100% that if we choose not to vaccinate, we have that choice in America. I'm very supportive of educational choice as well. I believe that parents should have the right to choose where their funding for their child is spent, whether it's in private school, public school, or homeschool. I've had my children in all three, and with each child, those decisions were made differently.
Right.
And I believe that parents, there's no one going to love your child more than you. There's no one that's going to care more about your child's education than you. But somehow in America, we have gotten just so complacent that we feel like we can trust the education system that we have, and that's not the case. We need to be more involved as parents, and we need to definitely have choices on where our children go to school, where they're educated, and those tax dollars to follow those children. So I know I kind of got off on something different there, but
that's okay. I mean, that's what you're all about, and part of your candidacy and things that you would like to see changed in our state. And that's nothing wrong with that.
Well, thank you.
People, the more people know about you and what you want to do, it may be easier for them to even say, well, let me check into Heather Hill. Let's see what's going on with her. You know what I mean? So, I don't mind. That's why I'm here.
Well, one thing I want to definitely let your listeners know, I am the only candidate that gives out my private cell phone number. That number is 740-624-0162. Don't hesitate to reach out to me. Shoot me a text message. Give me a call. I am very busy. You know, I am traveling all over the state. I speak at every event that I'm invited to. I meet with, it doesn't matter if it's a group of only 50 people, I will drive 2 or 3 hours and meet with them. because I believe that every Ohioan has the right and deserves to hear my voice and my message and make an informed decision when they go to that ballot box in November of 2026. I want them to know who Heather Hill is, and I want them to know that I'm not perfect by any means,
right?
But I am one of you, and I will fight for us. I will fight so we have representation.
Yes, and we need representation, because like I said, it seems like it's getting slimmer and slimmer by the day. I tell you. Well, who
yes,
will speak for us and who will go before us? Amen. And I thank you so much for your tenacity, your courage, your confidence in yourself and what you have to present to the citizens of Ohio. And I know it can't be an easy task. And to put yourself out there, and then you know you're the person that they come at and sneer at and put down and like laugh at you in their little, you know, ways. Like she thinks she's going to be governor. No one wants to pay attention to her or to hear what she has to bring forth. But you know, some of us do want to hear what you have to bring forth and how possibly we can be a greater state and a greater communities. You know, we need that so much now because so much is happening so fast and our attention is just scattered. Is it in the help to bring people together? That is what's so important right now.
Amen. Amen. And you know what? People, we need to remember what God can do. Because if we look at the Bible, we see that God used little nobodies like me.
Right.
You know, there. I read Esther's story constantly. She is a great motivator for me.
Mm-hmm.
I read Daniel's story. I read Moses' story. God used little nobodies like me, and God is going to use me in the governor's office in 2026, and I believe that 100% that God called me for this particular purpose at this particular time, and I'm gonna rise to His occasion.
Amen.
We're gonna do this.
Amen. That's great. That's great. Well, what I intend to do is talk to some of my people that I'm connected with here in Marion, Ohio. Maybe we can help bring about an event that you could come and speak.
I would love that. Thank you.
I think we would all love that. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. I mean, why not?
Absolutely.
Why not? Yeah, why not? It's elections take place every year. And this one that's going to take place, I think it's Tuesday. It's Election Day.
Uh-huh.
I haven't even voted yet, but I got to go vote. I better do that tomorrow, I guess, and get that out the way. But we are much needed as a community. We are much needed as people coming together in these last days. That's what I call it, the last days. And
yes.
Because of the dynamics of the atmosphere, what we're living through, what we're listening to, the changes that are being made, and they're happening so fast, and you don't know how to accept them, you know, or should I accept them? What am I supposed to do, you know? It's almost in a way like we're sitting ducks, and we don't want to be sitting ducks. We want to be active.
No, we don't.
Right, and we want to be moving and shifting things, you know, and not letting people just have their own way. I feel like that. Let's keep it moving.
Yep.
You know, let's keep it moving. Well, Heather, thank you so very, very much for all that you have shared with us about you. I do want you to give us your telephone number again so that my listeners can jot it down.
Absolutely. My cell phone number is 740-624-0162, and my website is fightlikehill.com. Again, that's fightlikehill.com.
Okay, thank you so very, very much, Heather. And I will be in touch with you and have you back on numerous times. We got a long way to go to 2026 election.
Sounds great. Thank you.
And thank you so very much. You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, and bye-bye. Okay, everyone, that was Heather Hill. She will be running for governor of the state of Ohio. Let's give her some love. She has left her telephone number, which is 740-624-0162. And her website is Fight Like Hill. FightLikeHill.com. So let's check her out. Let's read some of her information. Let's give her some love, some attention. She said everyone has turned their backs on her. And you know, that's a bad feeling when everyone turns their back on you and you don't know which way to go. But she has some good things that she would like to bring about in our state. And we as a people, you know, we try to stay together. Not just, I'm talking about by racial divide. I mean, as a people, we all live in this state. We all live in this country. We all live in this world. And we ought to have some say-so. If you think, maybe some of you don't think. Maybe some people think that they're tired and they've said enough and they've heard enough and they've done enough. But you know what? The fight is not over. Not yet. It's not over till the Lord says it's over. And the fight is not over. I do have a few announcements I would like to share with you before I get off the air at the top of the hour, 12 noon. Let me share with you the 5th annual donation drive-through for the Heart of Ohio Homeless Shelter, which is located at 326 West Fairground Street in Marion, Ohio. That will take place Saturday, November the 15th. Do you believe it's November already? We're getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving. Not only that, Christmas is right after Thanksgiving. Wow. This year has gone by so fast. I'm sure it's making your head swim as it is mine. Anyway, their donations, they have listed copy paper. And the lady shared with me, they use at least 80 sheets of paper when they take in new people, when they register them in. So that's why they need so much copying paper and envelopes and stamps. And they also need toilet paper and paper towels and 13-gallon trash bags and laundry detergent, floor cleaner, bleach, disinfectant spray, dish soap, bath towels, washcloths. And they say, thank you for contributing to a brighter, warmer future for our community. Every item matters. Not only that, when you drive through, you will get free coffee and donuts. And a thank you. So it's not that you're giving and not getting back. So let's do that. Let me leave their number with you. 740-387-4550. Again, this is the homeless shelter located at 326 West Fairground. For their Saturday drive-through, November the 15th. And the items that I mentioned to you that they need. Again, their telephone number is 740-387-4550. And they are seeking volunteers. All right, the last one I have for you, announcement, Meet and Dine with the Presidents. This event is sponsored by Marion County Historical Society. It is their 15th annual. It takes place this Saturday, November the 1st, from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. It's all occasions, catering, and banquet facility, 6989 Marion Waldo Road, Waldo, Ohio. They will have seating, VIP seating with the presidents. There will be speaking presidents there and speaking first ladies there. And they will have on their garb and all that, you know. And the dinner will be served from favorite foods taken from the White House cookbook. Now, they have non-speaking presidents. They will be there as well. Master of Ceremonies will be Colonel Edmund W. Starling, White House Secret Service agent. He served Woodrow Wilson and Warren G. Harding, Calvin Coolidge, Herbert Hoover, and Franklin D. Roosevelt. Special guest speaker will be Mary Ellen Withrow, who is the 40th Treasurer of the United States, March 1st, 1994 through January the 20th, 2001. Seating is limited. There may be a ticket or two out there that you can get by calling 740-387-4252 or go to the Heritage Hall. It may be too late, but then again, it may not be too late. I say thank you, Johnny Jackson, for coming and sharing with us about your youth group over at Harding High School, Morambe. I think that's the name of it. And Johnny shared a lot with us. And hopefully he will be bringing some of his youth to the show to share with us some of the things that, you know, they hold up or trying to accomplish in their lives. And don't forget that we are in the month of November, and I know that's hard to forget because it's the month of Thanksgiving, and we do have a little history about Thanksgiving I can share with you. The November, from the Latin word novem, meaning nine, because this has been the ninth month of the early Roman calendar. The history of Thanksgiving in America is celebrated on the fourth Thursday in November. Now, this is from 2024. Let me see what the fourth. This will be celebrated November the 27th this year. It's a season for uniting, sharing a meal, and giving thanks. Do you know the true history of Thanksgiving Day? Who moved the date once and why? Why did the pilgrims disappear? What did George Washington intend for Thanksgiving to be about? Here's some trivia and table talk. Thanksgiving is a national holiday in the United States and is always celebrated on fourth Thursday in November. Thanksgiving has been held on the fourth Thursday in November since 1941, which means that the actual date of the holiday shifts each year. The earliest date that Thanksgiving can occur is November the 22nd. The latest is November 28th, which we celebrated last year on the 28th. Interestingly, President Franklin Roosevelt had decided to move Thanksgiving Day from the fourth Thursday in November to the third Thursday in November back in 1938. However, this was not a very popular move. Before the formal establishment of Thanksgiving in the United States, harvest festivals had been celebrated for centuries by Native Americans with colonial services dating back to the 16th century. The autumnal feast celebrated the harvest of crops after a season of bountiful growth. As the story goes, it was in the early 1600s when communities of settlers in both Massachusetts and Virginia held feasts to give thanks for their survival, for the fertility of their fields, and for their faith. The most widely known early Thanksgiving is that the pilgrims in Plymouth, Massachusetts, who shared an autumn harvest feast with the Wampanoag Native Americans in 1621. This feast, which lasted for 3 days, is considered the first Thanksgiving celebration in the colonies. However, there were other recorded ceremonies of thanks on these lands. In 1565, Spanish explorers and the local Timucua people of St. Argentine, Florida, celebrated a mass Thanksgiving in 1619. British settlers proclaimed a day of Thanksgiving when they reached a site known as Berkeley Hundred on the banks of Virginia James River. Of course, the idea of Thanksgiving for the harvest is as old as time, with records from the Egyptians, Greeks, and Romans. Native American cultures, too, have a rich tradition of giving thanks at harvest time feasts, which began long before Europeans appeared on their soil, and well before the pilgrims. For more than two centuries, days of Thanksgiving have been celebrated by individual colonies and states. So, it was being celebrated way before the Europeans came to our country. How did the pilgrims come to settle here? Initially, when certain men and women of Scrooby, England, were persecuted for separating themselves from the Church of England. They, as pilgrims, fled to Leiden, Holland, upon the execution of separatist leader James of Barneveld. There on May 13, 1619, they realized that Holland was no freer than England and prepared to go to America. On July 20, 1620, after putting their plans into effect, they asked for the parting words of their beloved pastor, John Robinson. The next day, they boarded the ship, Speedwell, anchored where the canal from Leiden. They entered the Maas, or Meuse, a river flowing into the North Sea at Delfshaven, and sailed from Southampton, England. Well, that's the end of what I can share with you today. I'm in my last minute, and I have to close out. But I'll share some more of November with you, hopefully next time I come, which will be next Thursday. And we will be in the month of November. My guest will be Willie Harris, Tap One. I thank Heather Hill for coming, and I thank Johnny Jackson for coming. And I thank each and every one of you for sharing this these 2 hours with us. Thank you. God bless you. Have a safe and happy weekend. Be careful out there in the rain when driving, and when you're out shopping, just be careful. And don't forget to say a word of prayer for those who are in need of healing. Thank you. God bless you. Till next time, be blessed.